Are these kind of reforms the types of things that critics of some of the mining practices in British Columbia have been asking for?
You know, on paper, these recommendations look good, but as is always the case with these kinds of policy reviews, the devil's always in the details. And there's been, you know, a lot of pressure on the province to basically have a more independent compliance and enforcement regime for mines. And that's another thing that they're talking about doing here in these proposed amendments. Of course, they're not giving any specifics. It's just, you know, this is a bullet point list of three things. So,
wait, did I hear you correctly, Carol? You're saying this is not a press release, what they've...
No, not at all.
Circulated. I thought this was a press release. It's just a few bullet points. There's actually no more details than has been offered.
So they've just said the ministry is proposing the following amendments. They give like a 3-point bullet list, and then they ask people to fill out a survey, or they can email or mail in feedback.
Well, to get into the nitty-gritty, one of the things that I didn't see is the issue of financial assurances. And that's, you know, the state of Alaska, if you want to get a mine permitted, you have to post a bond just to make sure, you know, in case something catastrophic happens or the company runs out of money.
Absolutely. And I think, honestly, pointing that out, you've hit the nail on the head. That is, without a doubt, the biggest elephant in the room when it comes to mining in British Columbia. And it's actually a pretty unsexy topic. It's not necessarily very clear to the public what's going on. When you started talking about, you know, unsecured financial cleanup liabilities, it's like, what are you even talking about? But to drive the point home, for example, there's a Vancouver-based mining company called Teck Resources. They operate in BC. They also operate in Alaska. In Alaska, they have one mine there, and the state government required them to provide the full security for the estimated reclamation costs, which were $560 million. And that same company, which operates numerous mines in BC, has unsecured reclamation costs of $700 million.
And we can't talk about transboundary mining without talking about Mount Polley. Now, not technically it wasn't technically on a transboundary system, but bring us up to date. You know, the tailings dam collapsed in 2014. What's happened since then? The statute of limitations expired for the province to bring any kind of enforcement against the company.
I'm glad you brought Mount Polley up. And I do think that what happened at that mine and watching how things unfolded in the aftermath has been a bit of a, you know, a lesson or, you know, a test case for some of these big mines on the border with Alaska. So, yeah, like you said, 2014, a catastrophic collapse of a tailings pond. The equivalent of 10,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools of mining waste, you know, flooded into Quesnel Lake, a source of drinking water. The spill was so big, it took 12 hours to spill. Like, it's just incredible. The Mount Polley mine is owned by Imperial Metals, and they've come across hard financial times. They're on the brink of bankruptcy, a lot of people are reporting. We've reported on that, what that actually looks like. And the company just actually sold off a 70% stake of one of its major mines on the border with Alaska, the Red Chris mine, to an Australian company called Newcrest Mining. So here, this is the problem with not having those financial securities established before the fact, is that companies hit on financial hard times and then they just abandon these mines and they abandon those financial liabilities and cleanup costs, reclamation costs to taxpayers. And some of these mines, you know, they require permanent water treatment facilities, like in perpetuity forever. And those are very expensive. So looking at the Red Chris mine on the border with Alaska, this same company built that same mine, but on a way larger scale with a way bigger tailings pond. And now they're indicating to the world that they're actually not capable of managing that mine and they want out. So it's worrisome. And a lot of people, you know, they still want to talk about the Mount Polley mine because it was basically an example of how companies are not responsible for what they're the liability and the basically the environmental mess that they're creating in this massive resource extraction project from the get-go. And it shows exactly how they sort of can slip out of other forms of responsibility, including penalties and fines and cleanup responsibilities all throughout the process.
Carol Linnett is managing editor of The Narwhal. Thank you very much for speaking with Coast Alaska.
I really appreciate it. Thanks, Jacob.